Tom Quirk, Recollections at Lindell, recorded by Anton Thomas and Paul Timewell on the 17th of the 11th, 1995 for the Cumbria Community Trust Mining History Society Archive number 874.
Well, start this at the start, I suppose. I mean, where were you born in the area, Mr. Quirk?
I was born in Dalton.
In the Dalton, right.
I served my apprenticeship at Rawhead.
You started straight at the mines?
1933, as a fitter and turner apprentice.
Straight from school?
No, I had a little job before that. I was on a bread round in Dalton for a baker, pushing the old two-wheel truck around Dalton, selling bread and that sort of thing.
Handcart sort of thing?
Handcart, yeah.
And then an opening arose at Roundhead?
Yes, so I applied and got the job, and I stayed there 4 years, and then I decided I would have a change, so I applied to Vickers to see if I could finish my apprenticeship there. So they agreed on condition that I did my fourth year over again. I did 4 years at Roundhead.
Yes.
But the agreement was that if I went to Vickers, I would do my fourth year over again. So actually, I served 6 years.
What was it, more than a four-year apprenticeship on that stage then?
It was about five.
5 years, right.
But it made it minor to six, so doing my second, fourth year. Well, after that, I stayed with Vickers up till the war. Then I was in the Royal Navy for 3.5 years. And then I went back into Vickers, into the millwrights department. And I stayed there till 1951, I think it was. Then I went up to Glaxall. And stayed at Glaxall 28 years.
Was it in its capacity as Glaxall at the time?
Actually, at Glaxall, I started as a process worker because there were no vacancies in the engineering department. So I was advised to take any job that was going and wait for a vacancy to appear in the engineering department. So I did that. Then I went into the fitting shop. And during my time in there, there was a vacancy cropped up for a position in the instrument section. So I applied for that, and I was taken on a temporary basis for 3 weeks. But anyway, after 3 weeks, they decided to keep me on, and I stayed there right up to 1978.
As an instrument technician?
Yes.
So you didn't know the North Lawnstone Iron Works at all?
Pardon?
You didn't know North Lawnstone Iron Works?
Oh, no. No, no, it was already Glaxall in those days.
Right, I see.
Yeah.
So you worked for 4 years at Roundhead.
Yes.
Can you tell us a bit more about that, perhaps?
Well, as I say, I was in the fitting shop, although I did get underground quite a few times. And conditions were what we thought were pretty hard at the time, but I realise now it was a real good experience, because it was an experience you wouldn't get today. And the working conditions and disciplines and that sort of thing. For instance, when Colonel Kennedy came round the works, we had to salute him in a military manner. If he passed him on anywhere on the plant. And on one occasion, there was a young chap started in the shop, and he'd only been there about a week or 10 days, and I asked him if he'd been anywhere on the plant around to Nigel Pit and places like that, and he said no. So I said, well, come on, it's quiet morning, and it was a nice sunny morning, we'll nip down to Nigel. And we got to the top of what was called the Johnny. That was an incline from the fitting shop down past Kathleen Pit. onto the other line, and we got to the top, and Colonel Kennedy was approaching from the bottom end, and I saw him in the distance, so I said, well, look out, he is a colonel coming, we'll dodge him, we'll go down the low side, and we'll pass him on by Kathleen Pit. So he came up the top side, we went down the low side, and, but unfortunately he'd seen us in the distance. And when I got back to the feeding shop, Charlie Severs, the underground manager, was in waiting for me, and he was stood by the drilling machine. He said, come here, boy, stand here. I stood in front of him. He said, I don't have to tell you what you've done wrong. You know very well what you've done. The colonel's very, very annoyed at what he did. A disgraceful way to treat our colonel. And if it happens again, your feet won't touch the ground, leaving you to the Dutton Labour Exchange. He said, all you need to have done was approach him, recognise him with our salute, and he might have said to you, where are your boys going? And then he would have said, well, that's all right. But he said, the disgraceful way in which you dodged him, he said, it doesn't work here, it won't have to apply again. So I was threatened with a sack for failing to salute the colonel on that occasion.
Just because you chose to avoid him on that occasion.
Yes, he knew we'd avoided him.
Yeah.
Because he could see from the distance. We went down the lower side, and there was a bit of an incline, so he came up the top side. That was just one of the many things that used to occur there.
Let me just stop and restart this tape. It's buzzing a bit. Like it's not. Oh, I thought it was a tape. It's something else, isn't it? So, you said it was a good experience.
Yes.
What, for National Service?
Well, it was good, really, for general practice, because many of the things we had to repair, we had to make ourselves. For instance, if you wanted a piece of metal for it to do a job, you'd have to go out on the scrap heap and sort something out and take it back in the shop and convert it into whatever was suitable.
What sort of things are we talking about? Clacks for pumps and
gudgeons
for linkages, or what sort of jobs would be?
Shafts, spindles and things, anything like that. One of the best jobs I admit I claim to be for experience was making a locomotive piston rod. I had to turn nose on the lathe with the tapered bore into the piston head and the taper on the piston rod itself. Then we had to make the locking nut out of a piece of metal and put it on the shaper and shape it into an hexagon and bore it out and screw it and fit it that way.
So
you've maintained. It wasn't a matter of just going to the store and picking up a nut to do the job. I had to make it.
So you've maintained your own locomotive fleet as well?
Oh yes, with three locomotives to maintain. Luckily there was only two. One was scrapped. And there was all the winding engines at Violet Pit, Nigel, Burton Pit and Billy Pit. Burton and Billy were electric winders. Nigel and Violet and the other one was steam. Some were first motion engines and some were second motion engines. That was with the pinion drive. The first motion engine, I don't know if they acquainted with them, but that was direct from the piston and the cylinder.
So the big end was straight on the drum?
The big end went straight onto the drum.
And a second motion, you have a pinion.
A pinion driving onto a spur wheel.
I see. Right, I wasn't quite aware of that distinction, no.
Yeah. So
but So a second motion engine that was allowed you to use a smaller engine, but
yes,
lift the same weight, albeit slower.
Yes, Nigel had three shafts in one, so the double side, as it was called, that was the first motion engine, that drove two cages, and the single side just did the one cage. So the option of going down three shafts.
So there was actually two engines at Nigel.
Yes.
Yes. And one would be a counterbalance one, would it?
Yes.
Up and down,
yes.
Right?
And then the other one was independent.
Was that for safety reasons or?
No, I think
else?
It was just the way it worked out. That I don't know why they had three eventually, unless it was when they were sinking. As each time they sunk a shaft deeper, they would need a spare engine for that one shaft.
Right.
Nigel, let's see, that when I was there it was about 800 feet deep to the bottom, but they sunk again after that, after I left. They sunk another level. So I'm not quite sure what was the total depth at the end when they closed down. Violet was supposed to be the deepest shaft at Roanhead. That was close on 1,000 feet. But that was purely a pump shaft. Well, I've got photographs of that, I can tell you.
Did you pump the little shaft? We've seen the engine there, it's a huge great concrete monolith, you know.
Yes.
I think we've discerned it's a... Well, we know it's a Nippon baby, but
yeah.
We've got some details from it.
That was Violet pumps, the double L legs. So that as the beam came out, one leg was going down the shaft, and as it went back, it came up, and the other one went
so
down.
So you had over. Two, what was it? Oh no, we had opposing angle bobs, didn't we?
Yes.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, down the water.
That's it. So it actually had two water arms at the bottom?
Yes.
One was in compression and one was
yes.
drawing
yes.
at each stroke?
Yes.
Right.
That was another... might be of interest. Talking about the water problem we've got today, there was all the water we wanted down there. I don't know why they don't bore and take it, because there was a river running through Violet Pit.
A river? What, you mean an actual spring
emerging
yes. somewhere in the system?
I was down working on the bottom on one of the clack lids fitting to new grasses, and I noticed this river. It was about approximately 10 feet wide and maybe 8 or 10 inches deep, running through the pit, through near the big cast iron sluice door to control it.
Oh, right.
And I asked one of the pump doctors that was in attendance, I said, where's this water coming from? And he said, can't tell you that, lad, but he said, it's coming from somewhere under Walney, under the sea, and it goes out towards Kirby. Non-stop. A flow which ran night and day. That's why they had to keep pumping there.
So the pumps,
the pumps ran 7 days
that.
A week, 52 weeks in a year.
That was fresh water?
Fresh water, clear, ice cold, you could drink it. And we don't know where it came from or where it went to, but we know it came from under the sea, from the direction of Walney, and it went out towards Kirby. And that water's still there today. I mean, all they have to do is shove a bore hole down, they could get it, could take
well,
a night
true,
to
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be well documented as well, won't it, in the mining reports and things?
Yes, should be. Yeah.
What was the fate of the Violet engine? Can you remember when it was dismantled or scrapped?
Well, it would be in 1941. The mines, the old mines closed down in New Year's Eve 1941. That was the last shift on New Year's Eve. And, well, from then it was just dismantled.
It's all for scrap and that sort of
everything
thing.
Went for scrap, yes.
You don't know if another mine bought that engine, say, or was it just...
No, I wasn't there then. See, I was in Vickers at
right.
the time, and I wasn't acquainted with what went on.
Presumably being in the water, I'd drive the scrap unit.
Yes, probably. I think one of the locomotives was sent away somewhere to some museum, but I've no details of it.
Listen, the big fitting shop, and it was big, was it?
No, it wasn't. Wasn't no. Extra big. No, we just had 1, 2, 3, 4 lathes, a shaping machine, a screwing machine, and a slotting machine, and a plane, mm-hmm. and of course the grinder.
Can you describe where your workshop was, please?
Yes, you know the Burlington Broken Ground.
The track past the fishing ponds.
Yeah, well, if you go on the track past the fishing ponds, past yes. Cath Lane, and go up, there's a little bungalow at the top.
Yes.
Well, the fitting shop was adjacent to that. I think most of it's knocked down now, but there was a blacksmith shop, and the fitting shop were joined together.
It's just. This, incidentally, is our what we've been doing is going around all the remains,
yes.
engine house things, photographing them and physically measuring them, because a lot of them deteriorate year by year and get flattened.
I can't understand why they knocked all the engine houses down, because they haven't gained anything.
So, would this mean anything to you? This is a photograph that was given to me by a lady who lives on this site. Does that ring any bells? The house is no longer there, and that's no longer there, but this shed is. And there's a plan
yes.
here of it. Does that... Is that the spot we're talking about where you worked?
Yes, that's it. The fitting shop was L-shaped. You went in one from the front and then turned right and there was a...
That was just
like
way
a little bay running to the right.
That's the way it was subdivided inside, was it?
Yes.
Right.
With there was also a construction shop adjacent to it. It was more or less like a rectangular building, but the fitting shop, it went in there and that way, and this part was the erection shop.
Right, and adjacent was the smithy.
The smithy, well, yes.
Yeah. That house, it says, is the office.
Yes.
That was the sort of head office for all the,
yeah.
the mines in the area.
Yes, that's where we were.
There'd be a manager there, would
there? And we were paid there as well.
Wages clerk, right, and plans and everything were kept
yes.
and maintained
yes.
and updated.
But we never got inside there, only into the front entrance to get paid, but I never saw...
What about for tickings off, did you ever get inside?
Oh, that was done on the spot.
Was it? On the spot dismissal?
Yeah.
Just about this site, this building here still exists, and currently we're like... keeping some mining equipment there. Can you remember what that store was? Was it just fitting components and bar, or...?
There was an engineer's store there.
Was it like nuts and bolts, you know?
Yes.
And gaskets and
everything like that, yes.
Right, I see.
And right on the end was the mine captain's cabin, where the mine captains, they had a separate bath in there for themselves. They didn't bath. They didn't. No, there was no shower. Just a bath.
A tin bath?
No, I think it was a porcelain bath.
Right.
But they didn't use the change house same as the miners. They just had their own for one for each shift.
Right.
It would be at that time there was three shifts running, so there were three mine captains.
Explains that bit on the side of the store, then, doesn't it? That bit we break the door out from.
Yeah, it was a concrete fence. So. Yeah, obviously there are rails and things, which, I mean, to look at this now, it's just a normal field with
that's
cars
right,
grazing,
yes.
no hint of anything,
yeah.
not even a railway embankment or a tram, you know,
yes.
line to...
Yes, it's amazing where everything's gone. Even now when I've been over there, it must be about three to 4 years since I was over there, but I had a job to find what used to be ordinary tracks, you know. I mean, even though the track across to the top of the broken ground to the fitting shop, past the new shaft.
It's just a jungle.
Right, new shaft, it was just a mass of trees.
Right.
Couldn't find the way around.
So, just harking back to Violet for a minute, all this water that was lifted up.
Yeah.
Every pump stroke. Was it brought right to surface and then led away in launders, or...?
Yes, it went through the... That was the column pipe.
Right.
It went through there into a big tun dish, and then it ran down into a sort of a beck into the down to Nigel and into the sea.
Right, I see.
That's all that was left of Violet. Last time I took photographs there. This was Violet Engine House. This was where the balance pump was on there.
On the concrete?
This part, yeah.
One of the bobs was on there, you mean? Was it? We've been trying to work out ourselves. So the main monolith has the cylinder.
Yeah,
the piston.
That was this lot.
Right.
Was in there. Let me see. Right on the end of this, there was a sort of a balance pump, air pump sort of a thing. I think it was taking the shock out of the ram
as it went. It changed direction.
A damper pot or something, damper.
Yeah, that sort pump. Of a thing, yes. Yeah.
So that was housed on this now angled piece of concrete. It's obviously sort of drooping into the shaft.
Yes. I shoved a little notice in there. That was where I estimated was the centre of the old shaft.
Oh, I see. Right.
I don't know whether that's fallen in yet, but I can imagine someday that will fall in again, because with that river running underneath, when they filled the shaft up, I mean, it's more or less going to wash away from the bottom, isn't it?
Right.
The filling will gradually erode away, so that I can imagine the shaft might appear again.
Yes.
It has slumped, hasn't it, quite a bit? You see those concrete things that...
Yes.
Slightly.
So, the main concrete thing supports the engine. This brickwork on the seaward side, what was that, boilers? There, or?
Yes, they were the boilers. That was the boiler house.
Right.
There was three Lancashire boilers in there.
Right, and how were they arranged? Were they sort of longitudinally
away
from the engine? Or were they parallel to the engine?
At right angles to the engine. The engine would be that way and the boilers this way.
Right. But one thing maybe we all struggle with, you often see an engine bed.
Yes.
And it's just the massive blocks that support the engine.
Yeah.
It's often hard to imagine what it's like when there was a house built around it.
Yeah.
What was the house? Was it sort of half height brick and then
it was all brick. It was violet with a slate roof. That's it. There were three arches on there. I don't know which wall this was. I think that was the one to the west side, but anyway, the front of the boiler house was three brick arches with a boiler in each one, and to get into the engine house from there, there was a set of steps up the past the last boiler onto a little gantry, and then throw a door into this place here. A door was somewhere down there.
So the engine itself was enclosed in a brick structure?
Yes.
With a normal timber and slate roof?
Yes.
So I always struggle to imagine what happens to the engine houses. Are they totally demolished in taking the engine away? I mean, to look at that now, you'd think maybe they left the engine out in the open running all day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
And a lot of the engine bays you just see sitting there.
It's very bad to imagine, because outside of that engine house there was a little garden with wallflowers and...
Was it really?
Plants growing in together. The engine driver used to keep a little garden going.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was really nice to look at in those days.
Don't the Jolts know how they demolished it? Did they blow it up?
I'm not sure. I wasn't there then.
Yeah. I didn't know what you'd heard, you know, sort of...
All I heard was that they were dismantling it, and how they went about it, I don't know.
Because the funding always seemed to have just disappeared completely.
I think it was done over a period of time, because at first, I can remember, after they closed down, those three arches were still there for a year or two. Right. Then by degrees they just disappeared, and when they went, I don't know.
I just think now, and then perhaps not the engine house part of it, of course, because that's totally that's a cornish one. But I mean, are we talking about something like that?
That's right, yes.
That's a typical sort of boiler
house. There's no doors on the arches, there was just open entrance into the boiler house.
I wonder if we've got to be a well, I suppose that's a bit better, isn't it?
Yes.
And it would have been a single story, would it have had a story over for
No, it was single story, but it was pretty tall. Right. When I'm saying a single story, it was actually a single story, except for the fact that there was this short gantry up some steps by the wall, adjacent to the wall, and then at the top was this door which went into the engine house itself.
Actually, I think I've got a view in here of there's one Davy. I'll just dig that out and perhaps if we can mark it on.
Where was the chimney in relationship to the
chimney? Yes, it was the back of the boiler house. Somewhere over there. Here.
Right, it came away
that
from
was
the
one wall.
It was away from the, away yeah, from the engine
it
itself.
It was about 20 yards. At the back of the boiler house,
yes.
There was grassy ground there.
That's right. Yeah, we weren't sure. We thought we thought it was, but they were brick.
Yeah.
But we weren't sure, right, thank you.
And of course, in fact, on the other side of the engine bed from this view, there are some brick engine beds, or brick piers.
Yes, that would be these. That was the winding engine.
Oh, that's a winding engine, is it, behind?
For Violet, yes.
Right, there's a pair of concrete ones, and then there's two or three brick piers at a different angle.
Yeah.
I don't know if they might have been the boiler plinths then, for the winding engine. Do they appear in a view here? No,
the winding engine was quite a distance from the pit head.
And when we say winding, I mean this is for lifting pump components, not...
No, that was for the cage.
So the cage was going up and down there as well, were they? Violet?
As required when there were maintenance work carried out. They weren't going up and down all day.
Right.
Just probably every morning the pump doctors would inspect the shaft.
They'd be wound down in a cage?
Yes.
I see.
And then... Any other work during the day, they used to bring another chap over to act as a bell ringer for the engine house, and work would be carried out, and this chap used to just stand by the pit head and ring the bell from any signal from below, he transferred it into the engine house. Right. They were used to pull bells.
Yes. And what would the winding engine be? First motion steam or second motion?
I think it was a second motion at Violet. I never really had much to do with that one. I'm nearly sure it was a second motion.
But that point, was steam taken from the winding it from the pumping engine boilers, if they were only using it occasionally? Did it have its own separate boilers?
No, everything came from the main boilers. Yeah.
Did it at one time, do you know, have its own, when it was winding, did they ever wind there for real? Or was that only just ever pumping them?
I think in the very early days they were drawing oil out of Violet. And then, it was later boiler. Converted into a strictly a pump shaft. Because the cages at Violet were double-sized to what Nigel and the other pits were. You could have put two bogies together on Violet cages, whereas the other ones you could only get one on.
I have a view here which claims to be low field the Fontaine engine, but would Violet have looked something similar to that inside?
Would the actual pumping engine, you mean, or the winding?
The pumping engine.
No, I don't know whether that is. I used to have a photograph showing a view along the engine house. It would be a long way different from that. We had the cylinder was strapped with lats, polished varnish lats, and the cross head and the piston, everything was highly polished. They used to emery paper and oil and polish them so that it was quite a magnificent engine to look at, because the bed plates were painted green and all the steel parts were highly polished and brass was polished.
The engine man used to take a bit of pride in it.
Oh, yes.
Just like on a ship.
Go in there, that was another thing when I got to telling off. The first time I walked into the Violet engine house, I'd only been there a matter of a few days, and I was sent over on a message. And I walked into that engine house, and the engine driver exploded. He said, "Get out, boy, get out. Don't come in here unless you take your boots off at the door." The floorboards were scrubbed white, absolutely bleached. Even the seat they sat on was bleached white. And that was the thing, don't go in there with your boots on. Of course, that's the time when they had the wallflowers around the garden. And
that's something we've been struggling with down this way. Maybe we've had a recollection of it. Let me see. I've got a bit of a map. Well, the track you now go down comes down here, okay, towards the ponds.
Is this the road in where you mean?
That would have been a rail at the time, but the track comes along here, doesn't it?
Yes.
The ponds are up here, and you drive, and the cottage is over here.
Yes.
Okay. You come down the track, and before you get to this building complex, on the right, as you're coming towards here, there's a curious long building which is arched. There's an awful lot of concrete in the walls, it's very thick, and somewhere down the far end inside in the concrete someone has fingered 1909. Have you any recollection of that building?
No, I can't displace that. There was the old paint works, but that was down by Kathleen Pitt.
Yeah, that's over here somewhere, isn't it?
Yes.
Which still stands to a,
yes, it's still
a
there.
Fair
it's
degree. Yeah. A bit of a roof torn off in a storm.
Yes.
Let me see now.
buildings left now.
Yeah.
You know, it's a, just a, well, most of this.
It'll be the office part, is it?
No, it's this store here.
Oh, yeah.
That's left, I think, isn't it? Mm. Is it the pump, what Peter calls the pump store?
Well, they have a pump store, pump house on the end. Well, now it's been opened up into the one office. Yeah,
yeah, well, that was the engineer's store.
Yeah.
With the, as I said, the mine captain's cabin was on the end of it. The joiner's shop was, you've got the joiner's shop there.
Which is in the field now, and it's completely disappeared.
Mm. The loco shed was about here somewhere. We've been in that area, the locomotive shed.
Right, perhaps that's what we mean by the wagon shop, would it be?
No, there was a wagon shop as well as a joiner's shop.
Oh, right. No, it says engine shed in there.
Yeah.
It's not here. Engine shed.
Yeah.
And that reservoir, what was that for? Was that for the engines?
I think that was for... they had a vertical boiler at the back of the fitting shop for the steam hammers in the smithy.
That's steam hammers?
There's the two steam hammers, yes.
Oh, right, proper
and,
equipment there.
Yeah. And
it was make up for the boiler.
One of the blacksmiths used to have to, when they were going to go to the steam hammer, it was his job to go and fire up and raise steam for the steam hammers.
I'm sure that building was trying to describe on here. Okay, it's just there. And it had a chimney. And it still exists, and we can't think for the life of us what on earth it was. I mean, the walls are that thick, it looks like it might be a weird magazine. But it weren't for the fact that the door was pointing straight at pit number 16, so it would take that pit out of the blue, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is roughly the track as it stands today, this dotted line. And it's right by there.
Where's Kathleen building in relation?
Kathleen there. This is for paintworks.
There was a magazine in the field over. I thought it was a bit further over.
In 1909 it's inscribed in cement, so it was built about then. I don't know if
it... No, I'm wrong there, because plunger pit's up here.
That's right, yes.
The magazine was more up this way, in the field. Past at the back of the sawmill.
Right.
So I can't just say what that was. I don't recollect it when I was there.
Do you have any memories about Sandscale, pit number one?
No, that was gone long before I started there.
What, the equipment and everything?
Yes.
There's a steep
It was just a shaft with railings around.
Right. The engine bay still stands there. Superb sandstone edifice. It's really beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
And again, we're trying to sort of... trying to picture what's on the machinery sat there and certain other.
Yeah.
All right.
Can
I show you some photographs we've managed to?
Hey, is it? Easy.
What's this one here? Stank number 5, 1879, and that's all.
Oh, yes.
Historical shot.
Stank's been gone a long time, long before our head closed down.
Yes, indeed. I don't think we know where this one is. But again, it'll be 1870s or something. Historical shot.
Looks like an old Lancashire boiler there.
Yes, yeah, a factory of four of them or so, I expect. Oh, this is Stank. The engine house still stands.
Yeah.
Most of it.
it seems Stamp was a pretty big going concern at the time. Of course, they originally went for coal, didn't they, Stamp?
It is,
they were boring for coal in the Farm Wagon.
I've heard it mentioned, yeah.
Coal measures are that big.
Are they actually, have you seen them?
They are there, yes.
2 inches of gank, is it, basically?
Yes. Yeah, they're right, they found it, but it wasn't expected.
That stands. It's one of the
looking like Burlington picture, that.
What, this one?
No, this one with the miners in.
This says Primrose Pit, Stamp Mines.
Yeah.
It seems to have made a very common sort of act to have all the men to stand in front of the machinery to have their photo taken, isn't it?
Oh, by the way, this was Kathleen Pitt.
Right, yes.
And this is part of the engine. Oh, and this water that's running down from Nigel Broughton Grounds, the fishing pond, it runs out down into the sea, doesn't it?
Down by the
Well, all that water's coming from underground. There's no surface source for that water, so all this is seepage from underground. This is what I say, the wasting water, because that's just running away to the sea.
So that's coming up from basically where it's flooded up the mines.
Yes.
And that's it's making its own way out.
Carried on up to the mines,
right. Yeah.
And that's... well, that was Violet.
Was it?
Cross Gates that time.
Oh, was it?
I never really got the true identity of it, but from everything I could make out, it was Cross Gates. This was Cross Gates as well.
Where's the thing for those kinds of things?
Oh,
a friend
of mine borrowed them off an old lady, and we got copies.
That's
the one just in the back of the church. This is GB for the one in the scandal pool.
Oh yeah.
Those two buildings are still there today.
That one's
that was the GB for. Cornish miners getting ready to go down. That was Burlington, the same as this. This is all Burlington.
Right. I think we've got copies of those. No, that was one of them, was it?
Well, that was Sam Nigel's here.
That one of them, I guess so.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
Yeah, but that's Burlington. What was actually happened at Burlington was the wheels were turned round. There was a collapse of ground in the engine house was transferred over to this side. That was where the wheels ran, not the engine house.
So we've got one becoming unstable?
Yes, the wheels were turned round 90 degrees and the engine was over this back side.
Right, so that would be the pumping engine house,
yeah.
And the winder,
yeah.
And then they moved the winder to behind the pump.
That's correct, yeah.
I see.
Oh. Yeah, that's one thing. You see that piece of cloud sticking out of the ground, that's all that's left of Nigel now. Shaft's held in, all the concrete into
And that pipe is this one at the bottom of this rough, and it was working.
What is that one?
It was a copper air pipe, yeah.
And you can answer all right, the air numbers and all that, yeah.
Yeah, it was rare to see some places this area, people working underground. There is, this is all in, this photographs are all old, this one. Nigel had a rockway on the bottom, you know, you see, there's two sets of rails, the poor bogies came down one side, and now he's had to roll it on the road, and just roll it.
They clipped on with it.
Yeah, they just, it was a bracket on each bogey with a hook on, and it was just pull the rope down into the hook on it, and if you break it, it doesn't fly.
What does this refer to here?
Well, this is a brass plate found in the field. A chap from Austin found it years ago, and he nearly threw it away, and then he decided to keep it, and somebody got a photograph of it.
Was that from the washing plant they had
there? Because they did have an oil washing plant there.
It lasted quite some time, didn't they?
Oh, yes. Did that not last longer than the mines? Yes, it did go on for a short while. I don't know how many, whether it was a year or two, because they were bringing oil from other places to be washed there.
Right. Really?
All the slurry went down into Cut Lane, Broken Ground. Rita Broken Ground. That was Karen Kennedy, the fellow with the yellow
paint. Oh, was it? No, he doesn't look such an angel there. He looks quite human.
Underground manager, Charlie Service, and that was the chief engineer at the Cassie that time. Very, very sarcastic he was. Didn't matter anything you did, you would find fault with it. And his right arm was practically paralyzed. He'd had an accident at some time, so all his strength seemed.